Blog Talk Radio. Products, particularly the tacos, didn't contain enough beef to meet FDA standards for beef. Are you aware of this particular lawsuit in court, or have you heard about this in the news, Gary?
Yeah, actually, Stephen Colbert, I watched the Colbert report, and he was saying the percentage was so low he'd have to eat three of them. So you think they're going to have to call that old lady back and have her go in there and ask, where's the beef?
They might have to, or somebody else may have to go in there and ask them, where's the beef? But let me read you this article that came out in the MontgomeryAdvertiser.com. And this was published on January 30th, 2011. This has to do with what you're just talking about, Gary. It says, is FDA's 40% enough to feel safe? That's the title. When is beef not really beef? It turns out there's a bit of a wiggle room in that answer. In case you missed the news last week, Montgomery law firm Beasley Allen Crowe Methvin Portis and Miles filed suit against fast food giant Taco Bell for using beef that the lawsuit contends doesn't meet the necessary government standards to be called beef. Now, according to this lawsuit, the brown stuff in your taco has to be at least 70% beef and 30% fat to be deemed as beef. According to D. Miles, one of the attorneys who filed the suit, there's a 40% requirement that the product be beef or flesh from the cow in order for it to be called taco meat filling. Now, what this lawsuit claimed is that they actually tested the Taco Bell meat. And according to their results, and I'm assuming, Gary, they had independent analytical results, the Taco Bell beef only contained 35% meat. So, and the first question is, you know, there's a standard here, there's a 40% requirement the product be beef or flesh, at least, you know. It's kind of confusing. Because on one side, they say to be beef and taco, 70% beef and 30%, but then there's also some type of 40% requirement, which is kind of, the whole thing is kind of confused. But anyway, the bottom line is that, number one, obviously the government is not requiring these guys to sell you too much beef. That's the first thing, which is amazing when you consider how much pressure they put on companies to have very good products to sell, natural products that meet certain requirements and certain standards. It's amazing how they put on those type of requirements on natural companies or natural-based companies produce products, but then they turn around and say you only need to have, you know, X amount of beef to be beef. So that means either it's a bunch of fat, you're getting a whole lot of fat in your diet, or somebody not telling the truth. What do you think about that, Monica? Monica, are you with us? I'm not sure we had Monica here on the line. Hold on for a minute, Gary. Okay, Monica, she's still not with us. Anyway, this is what the suit says, that it only has 35% beef in it. Now, which the article goes on to say, which brings up the obvious question, what's the other 6% that the government will accept? Well, that's a bit tricky because while I can tell you what's in the beef products served by Taco Bell, you're not really going to learn much. What Taco Bell claims basically on their website is that its ingredients include beef, isolated oat products, wheat oats, maltodextrin, soy lecithin, anti-dusting agent, autolyzed yeast extract, modified corn starch, sodium phosphate, and silicon dioxide. Now, that's what's in your Taco Bell, Gary. What do you think about that? Is that pretty feeling pretty tasty? Is that a nutritious meal?
Well, I know two of them, you know, of those very difficult words to pronounce. One is sand, and the other one is silicone, right?
Exactly. You're exactly right. One is basically a sand product, and the other one is silicon. And, you know, again, you have modified cornstarch. It's probably, those are basically fillers. And I suspect that they're doing this because they're trying to stretch their product. I recall when I was a young man, you know, I grew up in a big house. Well, when I say big house, I mean big family. It was actually a little bitty house, you know. It actually wasn't a house at all. It was more like an apartment. But a house is a home, so, you know, we know the story. And I had five brothers and sisters. So, you know, my mom would make meatloaf. And you may be aware of this. It wasn't that much, you know. So she would put in eggs and then crackers, a lot of crackers. And that would, you know, that helps hold it together, but it also helps stretches it. Now, I don't know if you're aware of that when you were growing up, but I do recall my mom doing that. And, you know, a lot of people still do that today that, you know, they grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Did you ever experience any of that type of meal preparation with growing up?
Oh, my God, yes, man. But like you, I grew up in a large family. I got four older brothers and a sister, and there was always somebody staying with us, either an outside family member or somebody's friend or somebody needing help in the church. And my sisters and my older brother just swears that my mom's meatloaf was awful, but I guess being the youngest and getting the last little piece of what was left over, it's just, even you mentioning what all was put in it to stretch it, it makes me want it. And that good old watered-down cream corn that had to go far enough for everybody to get a spoonful. Absolutely, I remember.
Okay, well, that's pretty much what a lot of these companies are doing today. And the article goes on to say that Taco Bell did fire back with the lawsuit, and they put up big publication, and I think it might have been in the New York Times, I'm not sure which paper, stating how their product was 88% beef and 12% other stuff. You know, and they kind of gave a list similar to the list that I gave, I just recently read from this newspaper article. But in any event, obviously it does appear that this lawsuit is going away, and I guess if we stay tuned long enough, we're going to find out whether or not Taco Bell meat really contains the beef that they claim they contain, or is it just some type of product that's been put together, and meshed together, and seasoned. I'm sure they put a little sugar and all in it, and they give it a certain flavor. I think Taco Bell also said they had a little barbecue or something up in there, you know, with some spices, you know, to try to, you know, sell it off as a meat product. But, you know, I don't eat much Taco Bell, hardly at all. I don't really eat a lot of those kind of things at all. But I do recall, Gary, eating the taco stuff, the meat texture is strange. You know what I'm saying? It is kind of strange. I mean, I have to agree with that. So, but I know those type of foods really don't give you good nutrition, so I tend to stay away from them and try to eat, you know, real meat. You got any final comments or questions on this, Gary, before we go to a break?
Yeah, well, like yourself, I do try to, but in those lean days or times, I have to admit I've had a taco or two, or the two for one deal. But I think one of the greatest advertising and marketing strategies of Taco Bell is every week they have something new. You know, they're always advertising a new type of taco or burrito or some kind of combination. So that's how they keep us coming back and keep us off track as to whether this is real meat or not. Just throw something new at us.
Well, yeah, you know, they're constantly putting MSG in the meat, and that science is clearly demonstrated. And when I say science is demonstrated, there's actually been reliable testing, and that testing has been reproduced that clearly demonstrates, and one has to conclude that the level of high concentration levels of MSG is actually a appetite motivator. It actually makes you want to eat more of the same type foods. And there's been a big controversy on this about companies putting MSG in a lot of their foods, and you'll find it in almost all foods, particularly fast foods and McDonald's and things of that nature. And this is designed to influence the customer to continue to come back and buy their products. But in any event, that's some latest news in the health area. When we come back, Gary, we're going to be talking about flus, how to fight flus and colds using natural science. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back. So just stay tuned, and we'll be back in just one moment. This is Health Talk Live.
Grab your hankies and your tissues.
Their hair has gotten so much thicker, it's gotten longer, and they feel, it's like they had a bald spots on the side of their head. But ever since we've been using it, the hair has actually grown.
Excel Nutraceuticals' all-natural-based HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com.
Yes, hi. My name is Carmen. About a year ago, I had ordered 3 of the jars of the Excel HGS, and I'm here to tell you, oh, it really, really worked. It stopped my hair from thinning out. My hair is just beautiful, and I'm just so very well pleased.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products, call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Health Talk Live. I'm your host, MD Shaheed, along with my co-host, Gary and Monica. If you'd like to call in today during our show or discussion and ask a question, please feel free to do so. Our call-in number is 347-202-0758. That's 347-202-0758. And also, please visit us at our website at www.scel-n.com. Monica, I see you join us on the show now. How you doing? And good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. I guess a little sleep had you tied up early this morning.
Welcome. Wash your face. Wipe your wipe your eyes out. Good morning. How's it going? You okay?
And that's what happens when you burn the candles at both ends.
I know that's right. That's because, you know, you're headed towards great wealth.
That's right. You know what? It is, many times during this time of the year, it's cold, it's cool, and you know, we do work a lot, and it tends to make us, you know, tired and sleep a lot. And, in fact, most people don't reflect upon it, Gary and Monica, but, you know, we all, you know, have some evolutionary process going through as human beings. And just like all the other animals and stuff, we tend to try to get more relaxation in the cold months, you know, during this time of the year, you know, during the calendar year too as well. So we tend to sleep a little bit more if we can, try to get a little bit more rest. And all this is due to help rejuvenate the body. But again, as you well know, this is a cold part of the year, and this is the time of the year where people have colds and flus, come down with colds and flus, and studies clearly indicate that Americans are having more bouts with colds and flus. You know, it's increasing every year. You know, it used to be a time you get a little cold, maybe 2 or 3 days, you get a little sniffle, you're good to go. You know, you might get that 1 or 2. You know, times a year, maybe 3 times a year, every now and then you came down with a flu. I know most of you guys came down with flus when you were young, and a lot of times those flus, you know, you'd be out of school for a whole week. You know, your mom tell you, nope, you can't go to school. You'd be out of school for a whole week, and the next week you go to school with your little note stating that, hey, you know, I was sick with the flu. But nowadays, people are having colds sometimes 12 times a year. Did you know that, Monica Garrett? Studies are showing that people are having colds 12 times a year, and sometimes they catch the flu twice. And this is believed to be due to, you know, number one, probably the chemicals, whatnot, in the atmosphere, in the water, in the soil, and number two, related to our diet. And then number three, the over-abuse, and I say over-abuse, of antibiotics, you know, and hormones. You know, nowadays you just go to the doctor, they shoot you up with an antibiotic. For anything, you get an antibiotic. And we know antibiotics are used to, you know, control bacteria infections. But the overuse of these substances, chemical substances, could lead to mutant-resistant strains of the bacteria. And that's probably one of the reasons why we have lingering colds, because, as you know, most colds, and in fact, all colds and flus, are in humans start by the infection with a virus or a viral particle. And, you know, this viral particle or virus is real simple. Viruses are real simple. They've been in nature since the beginning of man's evolution, and for the most part, you know, we know that we have built up immunity against most viruses, but the viruses are always mutating because, although they're simple, Gary and Monica, they do have either contain inside the viral particle either a DNA molecule or an RNA molecule. But the viruses have, over many, many years, you know, because they're real life. I mean, I know it sounds like this, when we talk about this in science, it sounds like mythology, okay? But they are real living species, Gary and Monica, and they want to live just like you want to live. And they want to have children just like you want to have children. And if they have to use you as a host to produce their offspring, so be it. In on one hand, from a scientific point, it's amazing. But on the other hand, from a health point, it's dangerous. You guys got any quick comments on that?
Yeah, I would say also is us living in such close proximity of each other in our daily lives. Your kids go to daycare, they get things, they go to school, they get things, they bring it home, you get it, you go to work, you interact, you go to the grocery store, you touch the cart, there's somebody else that may have the sniffles. So by us living so closely together and sharing so many different things and those germs and viruses living, it's natural. Yeah, I can see why we do get sick so often.
Exactly. And, you know, as you said, I mean, because of the close proximities, you know, this is how we, you know, transfer, you know, viruses. And I guess that's a good turning point here in this discussion that we can get into the meat of what we want to talk about today, and that is, you know, how we can use natural science to help us better control, either prevent the onset of flus or colds, or at least help us in our immune system so that we can lessen the overall impact of these infections. And the first thing I want to mention is that flus and colds can be separated into two, I would say, maybe two categories in terms of infection in the human organism. Number one, viral, and number two, bacteriological. Now, we already talked a little bit about viruses, how when they're transferred and they get into the system, and they quickly, Monica, come in contact with our cells, and they inject their viron into our cells, regular cells, and our cells are the host for these viron particles. And then once they inject it into the cell, the human cell, then their DNA or RNA begins to replicate and produce new offsprings of viral particles, and then eventually the cell bursts open, and then the viral particles come out, and they spread, and this is how you increase the infection in our bodies. And this is why when you do get infected, a lot of times, let's say you get sick on Wednesday and you can't go to work on Thursday. You actually probably got infected two or three days earlier. But as the level of the viral particles increase in your blood, then it starts to wreak havoc on your immune system. And your body will respond to this, start producing antigens. Antigens are like markers. It's kind of like, Gary, everywhere you say, I want to go in and put holes in the wall. The guy says, well, okay, Gary, we're going to put holes right here so you mark a red X. We're going to put a hole in the wall right here, you mark a red X. You're going to put a hole in the wall right here, you mark another red X. That's our antigens. The antigenic response in the human being is to mark the virus so that the body's immune response can identify the intruder from the host substances, okay? But the thing about these viruses is, they mutated so much, they have learned how to closely mimic the outer composition of the human cell. So a lot of times when the body responds to it, they go up to the viral particle and say, oh, he's okay. The first time around, because he's like a disguise. He's like camouflage. He goes up to the viral particle, and the first response might be, this one's all right, this one's not all right, because each mutation is not perfect. So some's going to be perfect, and some's not going to be perfect. What I mean by mutation, the viral particle is going to look like your human cell. When the body goes to destroy it, it looks at this particular particle, and maybe the replication was perfect. Oh, he's okay, let him go. But this one was not perfect, so it destroys this. This is why it takes so long for you to get sick. Eventually, enough of the particles build up, and you get sick. You come down because your body starts trying to fight it. You start using a lot of your energy. You get hot. You know, a lot of times you come down with fever, right? That's your body raising the temperature, and it's trying to increase the rate in which it can kill infection. Now, Monica and Gary, you know that we don't really have any drug, so to say, on the market that can kill viruses. Basically, you have to wait till your immune system can respond correctly. On the other hand, we do have drugs to kill bacteria, but it's the bacteria infections that causes you to get really sick. The virus just raises havoc on your immune system. You get weak. And when you get weak, that bacteria that's already in your body that you normally keep under control, or if whoever you caught or wherever you caught the infection from also had bacteria that's associated with the viral infection, then that bacteria begins to multiply, and that's why you get the sore throat. That's why you get the runny nose. That's why you get the aching back. Because now the bacteria, it's the bacteria that's causing havoc on you. The virus just makes your system weak. And herein lies the ability to use natural science, I like to call it natural science, to help us better fight these infections. You guys, do you remember anything that you might have done or your parents did when you were young to help you fight viruses and colds? You guys never got sick?
No, what do you mean? In our home, no, we had no problem with those type things. Common colds, well, that was for the ghetto people. No, yeah, absolutely. Chicken soup was something we would have around the house. And I was trying to think, just listening to what you were saying, Monica, as I was so enthralled in what you were saying that I have to stop and think. What did we use? I know we had to, like, wash our hands a lot. I know my mom was
exactly.
Drink lemon tea with honey. That was another thing. Lemon tea with honey. I'm trying to remember how to make that for the time.
Well, I can tell you when I was a young man, one of the things my mom always did, she made us take a hot bath. She always made us take a hot bath, and sometimes she would put Epsom salt in the bathtub, and boy, I'll tell you, you sweat, man. I mean, she made that water hard as you can stand it. And then she say, you know, you get in the tub, and she put the Epsom salt in it, and you know, we sweat. Okay, and then when we got out, you know, you're right, Gary. If we had it, because you know, back in those days, at least my time, you know. There wasn't a whole lot of cans of chicken soup you can buy in the store. I don't know if you recall. First, you had the little small community store, so you had to make your own chicken soup. And they would make it, you know, from the chicken and different celery and onions and whatever types, you know, spices and things they would make in a big pot, and you would eat that chicken soup. And then she would make her sometimes gargle with salt water. You ever remember gargling with salt water? Especially when you had a sore throat. So your throat really, really sore. You remember that?
Absolutely. Now, my dad, he would give you a little shot of whiskey sometimes to help you.
Yeah, they did that too.
Combat the cold.
They did that too. And I tell you what, that wasn't too far-fetched. Because in the whiskey, remember, what's the main constituent in whiskey? It's alcohol. Apple alcohol, grain alcohol, that's the main constituent. Alcohol kills 99% of the type of bacteria. So by you ingesting that whiskey, it was helping you kill the bacteria. So these are old school remedies that you might say that was used to combat, you know, flus and colds. But again, remember that you can't really do anything with the virus, but you can make life a lot better by controlling the bacteria, because if you can keep your bacteria down, your bacteria counts down, Gary, you can sleep better at night, Gary and Monica. You won't have as much coughing. And this is why the doctor gives you these antibiotics and these hormones. Sometimes they give people hormone injections. It's to control the bacteria growth, and hopefully in time your body will produce enough antibodies to kill off the virus. And once the virus is killed off, once that viral level starts decreasing, your fever is going to drop. As long as you have a high viral level, you're going to have a high fever. Okay? So like I said, my mom used to, you know, do all of this, and drink, gargle salt water. And then this is what she used to do. Before we go to bed, she rub our chest in Vicks Vapor Rub. You guys ever remember Vicks Vapor Rub? Man, that was some strong stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rub you down
with
Vicks.
Right?
And wrap you up in about three blankets and tell you you can't get up because you can't get cold.
That's right. Because there was an old cliche that says, feed a fever. No, starve a cold. Remember this? Starve a cold, feed a fever. You remember that?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you guys remember. Exactly. Starve a fever. Yeah. And see, now you know that actually is true. You know, even though that was a whole remedy, you know, because, you know, my mom used a lot of, you know, she grew up on a farm. And then she came to the city, okay? And so she brought a lot of those, you know, remedies with her. And I think that's why she wanted me to be a doctor. But, and interestingly enough, Gary and Monica, I grew up, you know, just a few minutes from the medical hospital in Tennessee. You know, Marion Medical Hospital, there were only two black or African-American hospitals back then in the nation. And I grew up maybe just a few minutes from Marion Medical Hospital. So when I look back on all those things, you know, sometimes it's almost, I wouldn't say prophetic, but it's something to think about. But anyway, you're right. They would wrap us up in all of these different little blankets, and man, you'd be sweating. Gary, remember how you'd be sweating? But the next morning, you know, a couple of days later, guess what? You start feeling a lot better, right? Start feeling a lot better. Your chest is not as, you know, tight and everything. Well, these are natural remedies. In that Vicks Vapor Rub, it contains menthol, eucalyptus, camphor. These things are known nowadays to kill bacteria infections. Okay, we're going to get into that. Now, how can we deal with viral infections? Well, there's some things that we can take nowadays, and science has developed over the last 40, 50 years. We know now, Gary, that, you know, when your mom told you to eat those oranges because they had vitamin C in it, and we would actually eat oranges. I later realized that by eating oranges and putting a little salt on them, it helped seem to clear up my nose quicker than eating the orange by itself. But we know now that, you know, by consuming vitamin C, is an antioxidant, a natural antioxidant that our body uses that can help us in the fight against viruses. I'm going to go down a list of things here. We're going to deal with viruses right now, and then we're going to take a break.
Well, I'll tell you what, just before you do, what about this castor oil? Why would my mom give me castor oil all the time?
Well, castor oil is main function. When you ingest castor oil, and we got castor oil too. I hated castor oil. Man, it was nasty.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was nasty. But it contained, is similar, but not as potent to some of the fish oils. It contains certain acids, organic acids. And these acids help modulate the immune system. So, and also inflammation. You know, a lot of times you get stuffy nose. You get inflammation not just, you know, when you have colds and flu, depending on the type of virus, it could be influenza A, influenza B. It could be different type of viruses. There are many types that mutate in nature. But, and this, we're not going to get into that. It'll take a whole show to talk about that. But because you get these infections, you can get inflammation, and inflammation is just your first immune response. That's all it is. In a human being, inflammation is the first immune response, and that's where you get the stuffy nose and all this kind of thing, and that's related to histamine again. But to make a long story short, to answer your question, you get this inflammation in the nose, you know, we call it sinus. You know, we might get a sinus headache, a sinus cavity, throbbing. We get inflammation in our lungs, where we actually get, we could get fluid. And, you know, when we're younger, even people today, you can hear them breathing, and you can hear like a little wheezing in there when they have these flus, and all this inflammation. And also that's tied to your digestive system. So castor oil, number one, will help moderate the immune inflammation response, and number two, by keeping the system clean, keeping the intestinal system, lower intestinal duodenum system clean, this can help produce certain other enzymatic reactions that will cause your body to produce specific antibodies to help fight an infection, bacteriological infection, all in the lung cavity, and even if it gets in the stomach, because sometimes you get a flu, some bacteria. Now, you know, you throw up, right? You throw it up and things of that nature. So all this is designed to keep the system clean, and the more your system stays clean, the better your immune response is going to be. So that's why she was giving you the castor oil. Okay? But let's go through some things that for you can take that won't necessarily, in some cases, will possibly kill the virus, help you kill the virus, but in most cases will at least help you strengthen your immune system. We need the ingestion of B vitamins, all the B vitamins. The B vitamins help in the catalytic reactions. A lot of these things are cofactors. In order for you to have a response, Gary and Monica, you need to have certain cofactors that will help the response actually happen. So B vitamins will help in certain immune responses. Plus, they'll keep giving you the energy. Remember, you get a viral infection, you start getting weak, your body starts hurting, you're tired, you want to go home, you want to lay in the bed, you don't have a lot of energy. The consumption of B vitamins in high levels during this time will help keep up your energy levels. Also, we talked about vitamin C, also vitamin E. Vitamin C is a water-soluble antioxidant, and obviously, when you under certain health challenges during the flu, you're going to need more vitamin C because it's going to be depleted, meaning it's going to be used up very rapidly in the fight against viral infection, onset of infection. And also vitamin E, which is an oil-soluble vitamin, antioxidant, that resides in your fat tissue. Quite naturally, these immune responses are going to cause your body to produce a lot of reactive oxygen species. You don't want them to get out of control. And vitamin E will protect your fatty tissues, your skin, epidermal layer, things like that, from getting runaway reactions that's caused by the virus. Remember, the virus is caused, there's runaway reactions in the body. This is why you get weak and make you more suspect to secondary infections and tertiary infections from bacteria. Green tea extract. Green tea extract, a herbal substance from the green tea leaf, distilled from the leaf, is very useful in protecting immune responses, increasing, elevating immune responses. And green tea also has is now believed to, when I use the term believe on this show, I mean there's scientific research. I don't mean because somebody's read it on the internet or you read it in a book. I mean it's actually been evaluated not just under laboratory conditions but also under human conditions. And just because, Gary, Monica, you get one study under human conditions doesn't mean it actually true. It could be placebo effects. There are many variations in science. But if you get enough independent researchers to verify your results, then it starts becoming pretty theoretically correct. But green tea can actually help assist the body in killing viruses. One particular natural substance, Gary and Monica, that we know now definitely kill viruses is olive leaf extract. Olive leaf contains a substance in the leaf that'll actually kill the viruses. This is a first-line defense against viral infection that everybody should incorporate in their health supplement regime when they're challenged with flus and colds. Lecithin. Lecithin, again, Gary goes back to castor oil. It's one of those naturally occurring substances in your body, but you may also need increased intake, lecithin. And when I say naturally occurring, I mean that it's regenerated. I don't necessarily mean that a lot of these things you can't produce, but you can regenerate it once it's in the body. This is why you have to consume it. But over very many years, I would say tens and thousands of years of evolutionary process, the body has learned to utilize the things that you consume and then figure out how to regenerate it. But you still have to continue to eat the natural food substances if you're going to keep the levels up. But lecithin helps destroy the viral particle envelope, because the viral particle has an envelope around it, like I said, that learns how to mimic human tissue cells. MSM will help kill any secondary infections, maybe even parasitical infections. Ubiquinol, coenzyme Q10, these are other antioxidants that are, again, found naturally circulating in the body, particularly in the bloodstream, Gary and Monica, and also in particularly in the area, more specifically in the heart area, but they will help control inflammation as well as assist in the regeneration of other antioxidants and things of that matter, substances of that matter, pardon me. And then finally, in acetylcysteine, NAC, and it is an amino acid, it's an analog of amino acid that can be used to help kill, again, viral particles. It's also an antioxidant. The body uses it, and particularly in a more effective way, because most viruses are so smart now. If any amino acid that you consume, they know how to deactivate that amino acid. Unlike NAC cannot be deactivated by viruses or bacteria. So these are just a list of natural supplements, amino acids, antioxidants that you get in your foods, but you may need much, much higher levels of them when you are afflicted with flus and strong colds. Any thoughts or that or comments right now?
That's a pretty good list.
Well, sometimes you can actually find all of these substances, you know, in a package, you know, or something like that. And it'd be nice for somebody to develop. We can find them all in a package. It'd be nice for somebody to develop it in a package. Something we're probably thinking about here at Xceduceuticals. But if you guys don't have any comments right now, we're going to go to another break. When we come back, Gary and Monica, we're going to talk a little bit about bacteria and how to deal with bacterial infections. Stay tuned. We'll be back just one moment. This is Health Talk Live.
Yeah, this is Donald of San Antonio. We gave her a bath, and we started rubbing her down with the XLSO, and she has had complete moisture in her skin ever since.
Excel Nutraceuticals' all-natural-based SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to xcel-n.com.
My name's Dr. Karen Holly, and I am the senior pastor at Lifeway Church, and I'm also a psychological therapist. My grandson, Christian Turner, and he uses SO, and he has eczema, and so it's just worked wonderfully for him.
Tried Bump Stop. I've tried all kind of stuff. You would never believe, people don't believe anymore that I used to have hair bumps except my friends. It cleared it up. No more dry patches, even the patches that would come around.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Their hair has gotten so much thicker. It's gotten longer. And they feel, it's like they had a bald spots on the side of their head. But ever since we've been using it, the hair has actually grown.
Excel Nutraceuticals' all-natural-based HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com.
Yes, hi. My name is Carmen. About a year ago, I had ordered three of the jars of the X XLHGS, and I'm here to tell you, oh, it really, really worked. It stopped my hair from thinning out. My hair is just beautiful, and I'm just so very well pleased.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Welcome back to the show. This is Health Talk Live. I'm your host, MD Shahid, along with Gary and Monica. We just got through talking about a great discussion, if you missed it, viruses and how they affect the human organism, how we can take various natural substances to fight off viruses, to boost the immune system, and to live a better quality of life. More information about Excel, nutraceuticals, and all those fine natural-based products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-977-3981. Gary, Monica, we've been talking about viruses now. And let's quickly, we only have a few minutes left in the show, but we also talk about secondary infections, bacteria, which does mostly antibiotics that they have on the market that you can use. A lot of times, you know, your children, young kids in school, they come home and get sick, and the doctor, they give them antibiotics. But again, we've talked about this on the show, how the overuse of antibiotics is causing new strains of bacteria, very difficult to handle in terms of managing and helping us get over these infections. You guys know any kind of things you can take or, like, drink? Any kind of teas? I know, Gary, you mentioned chicken soup, and we all had chicken soup, but you guys, any kind of special teas we can consume?
I guess we could take what, green tea and lemon tea and with honey and all those type of things.
Exactly. Gary, you got any comments on that?
Well, since it's been scientifically proven, I'm going to go back to the whiskey and, you know, have for medicinal purposes. I feel a cold coming on.
Yeah, but girl, I don't want to get the little kids drunk, you know. But, you know what? You're right, though. You can use, I tell you, you can use various substances. They're not like alcohols, but they're, we call them aromatic alcohols. They're called phenols. Monica, you right on the nose. You can drink green tea. You can use a combination of chamomile and green tea. I've found is and others have found is a great hot drink for relaxing muscle tissue, calls, help fighting off bacteria infections in the sinuses and also in the lung cavity.
And you could put a little lemon in there too, Monica. You're right. And I like to put a little honey. You know, it does have a bitter taste. Green tea has a bitter taste. But you can put a little honey in and natural sweetener, not a lot. And then that'll also help too, because honey does have some medicinal applications as well. But quite quickly, you may not be aware of it, that you can also, when you, if you, you can use your green tea, or you can get you some distilled water and put you some honey in it, you know, boil the water to as hot as you can stand it, put some honey in it, drop about, oh, I would say 5 or 6 drops of peppermint oil in the water, okay? And then 5 or 6 drops of orange oil in the water. And if you really want to make it potent, you can also drop about 4 or 5 drops of thymol oil. Now, these are known plant oils that are very effective in killing bacteria. And, in fact, they've even used – see, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're not stupid either. They're looking at all this natural research. You see a lot of things nowadays, dishwashing detergent, different cleaners, they have what? Orange oil in them. Why? Because the orange oil is one of the most potent substances known that kill bacteria, okay? So by having orange oil in these little drinks, and again, thymol, peppermint, put your little honey in it, drink this down, man, it'll clear up your chest, your cough, your wheeziness. And, of course, again, by consuming some of these materials that we talked about, some of the natural materials, that in turn will really help you fight off colds and flus. And even more so, Gary and Monica, as always, if we incorporate these things into our natural regime, we can prevent or minimize the onset of flus or colds to the point where we hardly ever will get sick at all from flus or colds and other bacterial infections. So, I mean, these are different things that we can do, and they're not that expensive, but they're relatively inexpensive. You know, again, if you want to know more about these antioxidants and these oils, go to our archives. We've had discussions on the use of antioxidants, on natural oils, on vitamins, and in much more detail level. And you can go in, and we'll tell you the levels that you should be consuming. We'll even tell you where to get the most reliable products, okay, for that. But, Gary and Monica, you know, we're looking at the clock, and there's just really time to go. Time really, really slips by fast, and we're going to have to cut out of here. But we've had a great discussion on flus and colds, the use of natural science, natural products to manage these flus and colds, you know, to help us get over them. We won't feel so bad, keep us comfort. You know, we can also incorporate them in some of the home remedies that Gary talked about, and I brought up about the use of hot baths and different rubs and chicken soup and things of that nature. So, once again, this has been Health Talk Live. I hope you've learned much from the show on flus, managing flus and colds, and I hope you incorporate them into your everyday regime. Once again, I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Gary and Monica, for helping out on the show today. A lot of great information. I hope you guys learned something as well. Thanks goes out to all our listening audience who tune into this show. Thank you for tuning in, and come back next week. Look on our board, come to our profile. We'll let you know when the next show is coming up. Health Talk Live is a project of XL Nutraceuticals. Do check out XL Nutraceuticals products at www.xcl-n.com, or you can call us at 1-800-977-3981. I'd like to let everybody know that any songs, any music or sounds or recordings you heard on Health Talk Live are the sole possession, ownership, and copyright of Yah 2R2G Entertainment. Unauthorized copying, duplication, or rental of any of these recordings is a violation of biblical law. If you're an upcoming singer, rapper, or you're just already in the business and you need fresh sound, contact 2R2G Entertainment. Send us an email at info@xl-n.com
We'll get you in contact with 2R2G Entertainment. Okay, that's going to do it for us today. Be sure to tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Health Talk Live. I'm your host, MD Shahid. Have a happy day and do take care.